Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We have some new friends here, so we're going to introduce ourselves. This is EU Sports. I'm Spencer. That's
Caitlin.
Over there.
Over here in old yonder Arizona.
Caitlin is in Arizona. I am in Denver. We are together sometimes, just not all of the time. So,
which is depressing, really.
It is. It's really sad. It's really depressing. But I don't want to live in the desert.
I don't want to live in the cold. So it's 44 degrees here, and that's too much for me.
You know what? Let's see what it is. Let's see what it is today.
It rained here yesterday, and I was like, I'm sorry. I thought I lived in the desert for a reason.
Y'all, it's so funny though, because my mom's always said, like, I've never been one to complain about the cold because I like the seasons, but yeah. I am so lazy that I have been wearing Crocs even though it's been snowing.
You were telling me that Kayla. This morning.
I was telling Caitlin about that this morning. So I finally like got out my boots. I was like, I should probably put these on.
Valid.
Because, I keep getting snow on my shoes and it's very uncomfortable. But anyway,
I lived in Colorado, I literally wore fuzzy socks with Crocs every day.
See, I have like two fleece pairs of Crocs because I love Crocs. I love any shoes that I can slip on when I have to be at work at 7 a.m. Anyway, if you're new here, we're so happy to have you. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't already, like, comment, and subscribe. In that order or out of that order. It's honestly up to you. If you aren't usually a video watcher, we are also on Spotify, Apple, all of the things.
Yeah. And you can listen to us.
We put everything down below. And we also
everything is down below.
Have merch. We have some cute merch. I'm not wearing it. Caitlin wore one of our pullovers last week, I think. But we have a ton of stuff on our Etsy store, and it's all linked below, okay? And if you want to talk to us, you know, like, besides on here and in the comments, you can find us on Twitter all of the time.
Yep, we're on Twitter, Instagram, The Talk, here.
And that's my spiel.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
And that's all, folks. Just kidding. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started.
That would be so funny if we were like, follow us, love us, whatever.
Follow us.
See you later.
Go talk to us. Nice talking to you.
It's been a good one.
We have a lot to talk about because obviously there was only one game on Sunday with all of the football playoff games. And just about damn near everybody played last night. And a lot happened. Okay? So
I agree.
We're gonna start off with one team that I don't mind because their fans are nice to us. Okay. And one That's team I really don't like because their players annoy me and I'm a hater. So
that's valid.
The Houston Rockets topped the Boston Celtics last night by 2. Amen Thompson got a game winner. Also, while having an incredible game, Dylan Brooks shot 10 threes. WTF, dude. My favorite comment post game was Jaylen Brown going, yeah, I mean, I don't think we planned for Dylan Brooks to hit 10 threes, so we'll live.
No one does.
And I was like,
yeah,
period. Because if Dylan Brooks hit 10 threes against the Nuggets, I would say, what are we supposed to do? Okay,
what are we supposed to do? It's like the same thing with the Mavs game yesterday. Klay Thompson hit 7 threes in the first quarter. And like,
what do you
do? If you're playing defense against Klay Thompson or like Steph Curry or someone who's just draining threes on your head, like, what are you going to do? Bless your soul, my dear. You're welcome. Yep.
Continue.
You good? Yep. Yeah. You know, what are you going to do? And so, but yeah, I mean, literally with this matchup, they were saying that the Rockets have lost to the Celtics in 8 of their last 9 matchups. And so the Rockets winning today, like, or the Rockets winning yesterday, and Dylan Brooks having, you know, 10 threes. And I mean, he literally shot 66% from 3. He made 10 out of 15, which is just insane. I mean, those are insane numbers. And so, all the Celtics guys were like, shout out to him, man. Like, I don't, man. What are you supposed to do? I'm not mad about it. Like, and they still only won by two. Like, the Rockets still only won by two. It's not like they got their asses kicked.
Exactly. And like, I know a lot of people were wondering because, of course, Kayla and I were watching the Nuggets and Bulls game, I'm sure, instead of this one. So I went back and watched a majority of the game, and Caitlin went back and watched some things. but, you know, I wanted to also talk about, obviously, Amen Thompson got the game winner. It needed to be either Amen Thompson or Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks ended with 36 points, 3 rebounds and a steal. Amen Thompson, 33 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Amen Thompson, first of all, is a Denver Nugget.
He's rolling.
He's not, but I wish he was.
Rolling.
He is so incredible. And it's amazing how young he is and how great he looks. So when I say I don't enjoy the Rockets, it's because I don't like Şengün. He annoys me. I don't like Dylan Brooks. He annoys me. Jalen Green annoys me. The only people I like are Steven Adams and Amen Thompson, but I do like them.
I'm dead.
I just have to let people know, because then they're going to be like, well, they're so, but you don't like those people. They're so good. Again, if you've never been to the show before, I am a hater when it comes to people that annoy me, but I will never say they are bad at basketball if they are not. LeBron James kind of annoys me. Am I ever going to say that he is bad at basketball? I'm not that stupid, okay?
He's awful. Him in those 22 years and all those broken records and rings.
Who keeps employing this man?
Boo.
Amen Thompson has just been an incredible, incredible piece for them. Like, I don't think anyone could have predicted how good he was going to be for them. And I think that's in the offseason, Caitlin and I talked, and I don't think we had high hopes for the Rockets just because they didn't do a ton in the offseason. And we weren't saying that they were bad, because we knew, like, we know Şengün is good and Fred VanVleet is good and Jalen Green can be good occasionally. and they have a lot of dogs on the defense, but they didn't do much. And the Western Conference is usually pretty consistent and really tough. And so I think I can speak for myself, at least, that I am shocked at how well they're doing. I think they're now streaking 4 games in a row. I think the bottom three.
Women shouldn't talk basketball. Saved it for you, okay? I know I effed up, all right? Listen, I will fully admit, I was so wrong about the Houston Rockets.
Those are the same guys that said Phoenix
was going to be a contender and a winner. Okay. Yeah.
So we're all wrong.
Yes. And it's okay. It's okay to be wrong. And it's okay to admit that. Because, I literally, before the season, and the reason that I thought this was because, like, one, obviously the Rockets were rough last season. And it's not that they were, like, bad, but, you know, you didn't have Steven Adams. And they were kind of, like, in and out a couple of players throughout the season with injuries and stuff. And then the West was just
young,
so good.
Young guys, too.
Yes, and young guys. It's kind of, it reminds me a lot of, like, the Detroit Pistons. And the Detroit Pistons have Asar Thompson, which is funny because, like, it's just those Thompson brothers helping these teams out. But, like, you know, just a young core in a really competitive Western Conference. And that's kind of exactly what the Rockets were. And, again, they didn't have Steven Adams. Not like he is, like, their guy anyway. But he's still
he's
some
a
help.
Good vet
and
to have.
He is. He's a great vet.
Vets, but like, I think, are so, like, so important. And
they are.
A lot of the reasons that can mess up, especially if you have like a young bench crew with no vets, like it's so important, I think, to have a vet on your bench, like, or one or one to two leaders. And, you know, they've got Jeff Green and Steven Adams, who I love both of them. So
yep, I do too. I'm big fans of both of those guys. Steven Adams has always just, like, been such a class act. One of my favorite guys. Like, I love watching him. He's so good with, like,
he's
sportsmanship
so funny
and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I really appreciate him.
Just a good human.
Just as a person and a player. Yep. And, but so I said that the Rockets would be, like, bad this year because you had a lot of the Western Conference teams that went out of their way to better themselves as a team, to make themselves better, to do better, to be better. You know, these big trades and stuff like that. And the Rockets just kind of sat on it. And while I thought that the Western Conference was working to get better, the Rockets were really just trusting in their young guys, and that was probably the best thing that they could have done. Yeah, and that was the best thing that they really could have done because, I mean, obviously, look at them now. Like, they're comfortably the number two seed in the West. Again, in like a still decently competitive West, I would say that it's probably a lot of the changes that teams made last year maybe made them worse. Maybe made them worse instead of better. But felt and heard on my side of things. But the Rockets are just absolutely killing it. And yeah, I'm 1,000% surprised. I mean, Amen Thompson has been going crazy, and really so has, I mean, like, everyone has really been consistent on this team. And like you said, like, they're dogs on defense. Like, these guys are competitors. And that's like, I know that, like, you find it really annoying, and I find it so annoying too. Like, I roll my eyes half the time, but I'm like, God, you're so fun to watch because they're just like all so athletic and so competitive. And then I just like roll my eyes. I'm like, you're really annoying.
Well, it's like annoying because it's like, why can't my team have some effort on defense? Well, it's again,
literally.
And I think it reminded me a lot with the game last night, you know, because you're playing the defending champs. And January is like the worst time of the month, I think, in the season for all players. You know, it's cold where most everyone is. You're like eyeing the All-Star break, like praying to get there. You know, the playoffs are far away. Like, it's not an enjoyable time in my opinion for most. And so you have the defending champs who I think right now, like, they're not trying to coast to the All-Star break, but I don't think that they're like dialed in, and I'm not shitting
they're
on the Celtics in any way.
Their way to the All-Star break. They're tired.
Yeah. Like, I just think they're tired, and I don't think they are really, they know that they can't catch Cleveland at this point, but I don't think anyone's really going to catch them. So I don't think they're going and making, you know, wasting all their energy. And then you have Houston, who's a young team who wants to fight to make some noise in the playoffs. So I think that's the difference.
Totally. And I was going to say, I'm just going to go through like their last games, because I think that like their competition recently, like, is a bunch of competitors, a bunch of contenders. Oh, and like, it's insane the way that they're,
it's not like they're four games winning in a row, beating up on like the Wizards, Blazers,
Trailblazers. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm naming all the teams that the Nuggets lost to, but,
felt, but yeah, no, all like literally this is from January 9th. Okay. And, like from January 9th on. So January 9th on, they beat the Grizzlies on January 9th, 119-115. And again, the Grizzlies are in third place. I think they're still in third place.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I was like, I hope
I don't think much changed. The Grizzlies did lose last night, but they're third. Nuggets are still fourth, even though we've lost two in a row, and Lakers are fifth, whatever.
Okay. That's what I thought. So, okay. So on January 9th, 119-115, they beat the Grizzlies. 118-120, they beat the Grizzlies on Monday, January 13th. On January 15th, they beat the Nuggets by 20. On January 16th, they lost to the Kings, but they lost to the Kings by only 5. And that was when the Kings were kind of on their roll. On January 18th, they beat the Trailblazers by 22 points, 125-103. This was their biggest loss in recent, times, and it was to the Pistons, 107-96. And that was just a rough game for their entire team. No one could do anything. So, that was tough. But after that, they beat the Cavs 109-108. They beat the Cavs 135-131. And then they just beat the Celtics 114-112. So they're beating really great teams. You know, like I said, like their loss to the Pistons and their loss to the Kings, I feel like those are losses that you live with. The loss to the Kings came, like I said, right in the middle of a big hot streak for the Kings, and they were playing insane. And they didn't get their asses kicked by them. They lost by 5. And that's what it was. The Pistons game, that was a crappy loss.
I think they're hungry to prove themselves. And I don't think, you know, they're getting like a ton of coverage, especially for being comfortably in the two seed and for defeating some of these insane teams. You know, it's like kind of like the Cavs, like they weren't getting talked about enough. I don't think the Houston Rockets have gotten talked about enough. And I think, you know, that last game winning possession, you know, they could have gone to anyone else, but you go to a young guy, Amen Thompson, who is just so fast that he can blow right by you. And there's like, no matter how good defensively the Celtics can be when a guy is that quick. You know, I think he's like one of the, he reminds me of, you know, Russell Westbrook. It's like no one is stopping him. Like you can't. And so even if you did, you're probably just fouling him.
Yes. And then he just nails a mid-range jumper, like at literally with 0.7 seconds left.
And I think he said he had to change his shot when I was looking at the post-game interview. Like, I don't think that's what they had like planned. And he had to.
Nice. Good for him.
Like switch. So I'm just impressed. Again, I have loved the Thompson brothers since the twins, since I watched their draft year, because this is their second year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I love watching. I sobbed when I watched them get drafted and watched them sit with their parents.
Well, their story was so cool because, you know, they both decided when they were young, they were like, no, we're going to the NBA. And they were like, they were the ones pushing each other. Like, it wasn't their... No offense, but Jamal Murray's dad putting hot cups of tea on his legs while he does wall sits, which this did happen if you're not a Nuggets fan and you don't know, and made him like pick up leaves in the snow in Canada. Okay. These boys were like, no, we want to be NBA players and we're going to push each other to be the best. So I just thought their story was the sweetest and I'm so excited. I would hate to be, of course, though, the brother that ends up on the team that like, you know, luckily the Pistons are doing much better, but obviously I think Amen Thompson's having a little bit more fun than I'm sure Azar is.
Yes. Well, especially, and it's funny
Detroit
because both
in the
of
winter.
Them. Totally. Yeah. Well, and it's both of them. Amen and Azar both ended up, you know, on the Rockets and the Pistons. And last year, both of them were like down at the very bottom of like the seating and everything like that. So both of them were just in misery. But that's what happens after you get drafted, especially when you're in like the top 10 picks. You usually end up not on the best team. But like, I just want to like, while we're talking about Amen Thompson, I just want to literally like look at his last couple of games because he literally had a triple-double 2 games ago. 23 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks, shooting 61%. Insane. Beautiful. 16 points, 16 rebounds,
Denver
4 assists. He's amazing.
I say this when I want somebody, by the way.
Same. Yeah.
Give him to me.
Give him to me. 4 assists, 4 steals, shooting almost 50%. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, shooting 50%. Like, he's 20 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block, shooting 66%. Like, he's efficient. He's athletic. He can kind of fit into whatever you need him to do. Like, he's got a mid-range. He can shoot from 3 a little bit when
he
wants
to. He's quick. He's got length.
Yeah. Yeah, he can just...
I think his facilitating is going to grow. Obviously, you know, he had a triple-double, so I can only imagine that that's going to grow. You know, he already, you know, does rebounds. And then his offensive game is starting to flourish, you know, because I think he started out averaging 13 points a month. Or 13 points. And then now just in this past month, it's been 19 points. So I'm sure it's just going to keep growing. And it's so nice what the Rockets, I think, have built, because Jalen Green can have some amazing games, but then he goes through a lot of streaks where he's not amazing. And they have so many guys that, first of all, like they're all defensive dogs, but then a lot of them can play that offensive piece too and fill in the gaps when he's not having a great shooting night.
No, literally. And that's like, I wrote this down yesterday just because I was looking at it. And it's just crazy because the Celtics are still such an incredible team and they really do have such an amazing team.
We just think they're tired.
Yes. Yeah. I just think that with the Rockets right now, like, it's crazy because all of their scoring yesterday literally came from Dylan Brooks, Amen Thompson, and Alperen Şengün. I mean, Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet, and Tari Eason all shot between 20 and 23%. I mean, they were bricking shots everywhere.
It looked like Celtics were going to win until they had like a... They had
Celtics
a major,
were up by like 11 at one point.
They had a major run, I think. And again, we don't need the, exactly guys to come for us. But I think... Because I remember looking, there was like an 11-1 run or 12-1 run at some point, like in the last, you know, like... 7, 8 minutes of the game. And then it was like, oh, like they're not going away. Like, and so they fought and they clawed their way. And then it was back and forth in the last seconds. Cause that part I was watching. Cause I wanted it to go to OT. And, And then, yeah, Amen Thompson just gets the little mid-range.
Hit the game winner.
Peyton Pritchard tried to heave a Nikola Jokic 70-footer that did not go in.
I'm not going to lie. It was incredibly accurate, but too far. Like, it was, if it would have been, like, a tiny bit less strong, it probably would have gone in. It was, like, if here's the hoop, it literally just went, like, like,
it's always
right
so funny to me when you see them that are like barely short, but like, but it like literally goes perfectly. And you're like, I feel like if it had just been a teeny bit stronger, it probably would have gone in.
Yeah. That's literally the opposite.
Caitlin and I do not worry for the Celtics. I think it's a January game. They obviously haven't been doing great. I think they're tired. And I think they're, you know, going to put together some really good wins, you know, after the All-Star break.
I like can't even dwell on them.
I only crash out and worry about my team's dreams when they lose.
That's so true. Like,
I do. But moving on to another team in the East Coast, we have the New York Knicks and the Memphis Grizzlies. And that was a game from the Grizzlies.
They did play basketball. One of the teams showed up to play basketball. Let's just say, and this is crazy because I feel like when the team like has Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Santi Aldama, and these guys are all healthy, I'm like, no one can like crush the Memphis Grizzlies. No, the Knicks did. The Knicks, they hit them hard. It was 143-106 at the final buzzer.
And that is the second Knicks game, literally back-to-back, that they scored 143 points. I also want to point out that sometimes basketball is a math game, sometimes it isn't. Regarding the Knicks and Grizzlies, and we'll get into the Nuggets versus Bulls, it was a math game. So the Knicks and Grizzlies, the Grizzlies had 26 turnovers to lead to 36 points. And that is that. And that is a math game. And that is a math game. You are not winning if you have 26 turnovers in an NBA game.
And they literally, that's like the crazy part, is that they lost by 37. So the 36 points off of turnovers essentially was their whole downfall.
Yeah,
and I mean, you know,
26 empty possessions where you're not even getting like a shot up.
Yeah. I mean, genuinely. And it's just like, I mean, I'm looking at the stats and I was telling Jason last night, I was like, what the hell are these stats? Because like a lot of the times, like if you watch as many basketball games as we do, because we just literally sit and watch basketball all day, but you'll see stats and like even people that like you wouldn't, you know, that's not like a facilitator, they almost always at least like have an assist, or, you know, someone that's not a big rebounder will normally have like a rebound, just because like the ball either falls into your hand at some point and you know, it's perfect for you, or you make just the right pass and someone makes a shot off of it. You know, even if it's not intentional, you normally get those stats. These stats for the Grizzlies were just weird. And I'm going to read them, and I'm going to read them really quickly because I want you guys to hear the plus minus too, because it's actually a little insane. Zach Edey, 9 points, 11 rebounds, 3 blocks, minus 19. Jaren Jackson Jr., 21 points, 4 rebounds, no assists, no steals, 2 blocks, minus 33. Desmond Bane, 16 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He was the only one that was really all over the place, minus 35. Luke Kennard, 7 points, 2 rebounds, 7 assists, 0 blocks, 0 steals, minus 3. Brandon Clark, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, minus 8. Santi Aldama, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks, minus 10. Jalen Wells, 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, minus 16. Have you noticed that we have not gotten to Mr. Ja Morant yet? They normally go in order from best to worst, so just remember that while we're here. Scottie Pippen Jr., 5 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, minus 7. He shot 16%, Scottie Pippen Jr. did. And so did Jalen Wells, by the way. And then G.G. Jackson Jr., 8 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. He was the only plus on the Grizzlies, and he was a plus 5, shooting 25%. Ja Morant, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He was a minus 41. A minus 41. And so just like, I mean, for me, like if I were the Grizzlies, this would just be a throwaway game. Like, you have everyone out there trying to do literally anything, trying to make anything happen. And the Knicks are just beating your ass.
By the way, Desmond Bane, 6 turnovers. Jaren Jackson Jr., 4 turnovers. Zach Edey, 3 turnovers. John Morant had 4 turnovers.
Yep.
And the most shots that anyone on the team took was 14.
Mm-hmm. There was, so. I think I took a note on this, and I was just saying,
they still scored 106.
They did. They scored just fine. It was just like
we said, it's hard. It's hard to not score 100 in an NBA game now.
It is. It really is. And like for me, I was just saying that like the effort was there. Like everyone on, if you were able to watch a little bit of this game, Spencer, I don't know if you were, but the effort was there. Like everyone was trying. Yeah. It didn't even look like they were tired. Like it literally just looked like the Knicks just like kept picking them apart. I mean, you know, you have guys on the Knicks and I'll go and, you know, we'll talk about those stats too. But, you know, guys with 6 steals, 4 steals, 2 steals, like the Grizzlies could not take care of the ball and they just could not get anything going the entire game. Like the entire game just looked so discombobulated. No one was a leader. No one was out there being like, I'll take the game over. I'll see what I can do. They didn't really have a leader out there. And the Knicks had 7 guys in double digits. Like, shooting efficiently, you know, what are you going to do with that when the Knicks are going crazy?
When Mikal Bridges has 28 points turnovers. Yeah. And is a plus +43, yeah. Another math game for you. If Mikal Bridges is doing that to your team, you probably lost.
Yeah. I mean, genuinely, like I was saying, everyone on the Knicks that played 10 minutes or more had at least 1 steal or 1 block, but mostly everyone had a little bit of everything.
Ananobi with 6 steals, mind you. Precious Achiuwa, 4 steals. Yep. McBride had 3 steals. Like, yep. They were going off.
Precious Achiuwa had 4 steals and 2 blocks. Like, he went
OG
crazy.
Ananobi was barely below Mikal Bridges and was a +41.
I was just about to say OG Ananobi was Ja Morant's net zero. Damn. Ja Morant was a -41 and he was a +41. They had lots of fun together. The two of them.
The Knicks, you know, they bullied. I think we lost by 40. The Nuggets did early in the season against them. And I think Carl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson have really figured out like that good pick and roll system, you know, that tried and true that sometimes like you just need. I just wanted to brag on the Knicks because I feel like because of the Cavs and the Celtics, they're also not getting any love, you know.
I agree.
The media, I think, you
and
know.
And they're a comfortable 3 seed.
And they were picking, you know, they were not doing their best in the beginning of the season, but that's because they literally had someone come in media day. Like, the trade was announced, like, media day, okay?
We talked about this at the beginning of the season. We literally said that, like, we think that the Knicks will be totally fine, but you have to give them time to adjust. And they definitely took that time to adjust. They were struggling at first with, like, finding a way to make Cat work on their team. But they like
fit everyone because you know because they also got Mikal Bridges and some of their pieces were out. So the only thing I worry about them when you get into the playoffs is still like I would say like their bench depth. I think they had the highest usage rate of their starters last year, and I'm sure it's going to be similar in a game where they won by 40 or almost 40. What is this? 37 or something. You know, Mikal Bridges, 34 minutes. Carl Anthony Towns, 33 minutes. OG Ananobi, 34 minutes. Brunson only played 25. But, you know, I only worry about that, like, when we get later into the season. You know, I don't know how their schedule looks. But, you know, shout out to the Knicks, man. This is obviously, like I said, the second game in a row. They beat the Kings 143-120 on Saturday. And this is their 1, 2, 3, 4. This is their 4th game in a row. So they're going streaking. And then the Nuggets get to play them. Can't wait.
What?
So excited for that one.
What do you mean? I think that the Nuggets will play great defense on a team that can put up 150.
This game definitely reminds me of when the Nuggets lost to them by like 40. I think it's a wash for the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are still the 3 seed. Was an embarrassing loss, though, I will say. And 26 turnovers in an NBA game is a little despicable. Kind of gross.
Yeah. like I said, if you're Memphis, just like I said about our game the other day for the Nuggets, you just got to flush it, chew it up, spit it out, throw it away, forget it happened, hit your head, amnesia, gross. We're not remembering it. We're moving on. We're going to the next one because that is not like games like that. Yeah. You know that that is not your team. That game is not representative of how your team plays. If the Grizzlies start doing this consistently, then I'll have some concerns. Yeah. But if I were the Grizzlies, I would do what the Broncos did with their receivers, where they just have them all hold basketballs all day. And if someone knocks a basketball like out of your hands, yeah, then you got to go running.
Yeah, moving on to another embarrassing loss. We'll just go ahead and talk about the Nuggets because I actually promise I won't talk about them for 30 minutes today. The Nuggets have now lost two in a row after probably the last episode I was saying this team is contenders and we're winning the championship.
Why do we always jinx them?
Especially after I came on here and said, just at the beginning of the month, you can go back and look at the videos. And I was so depressed and the Nuggets weren't doing good. And they're playing exactly how they did at the beginning of the season in the first two games. They went from like the past couple weeks they were like back to top 10 or something in defense or having a better defensive rating. And then all that went out the window. There was no perimeter defense to be had. I mean, when you give
not up a one.
24. Oh, another math game. Let's chat about it. 24 three points made by the Chicago Bulls. And I guarantee it felt like all of them were open. And six made threes by the Nuggets. So
Klay Thompson had more threes in the first quarter by himself than the Denver Nuggets had as a team their whole game.
And it was despicable because the Nuggets were actually still winning the game until the fourth quarter when Jokic and our bench, which had Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon on the floor, provided to the other team like a 12-0 run. And that was the story. They came in and just kept making three after three. And then we'd whittle away because Jamal Murray can only work when, you know, the lights are the brightest. And he brought us back. We were like within three with 3 minutes to go. And they just kept hitting threes. Zach LaVine at one point literally deep, deep behind the perimeter, just looked and shot it. It was pure. Very, 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 very annoying. And
I was going to say, so annoying.
I wanted to ask you, Caitlin, because this happened at the Phoenix game and, you know, the Timberwolves game. It wasn't so much about perimeter defense with the Wolves.
Yeah.
But when we see these games where there's like no defense, you know, because I understand if you come out like the first quarter that happens.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like you should get yelled at, right? And then you're like, oh, yeah, gotta lock in on defense. Do you think it is the coach's fault? Or do you think it's all, like, effort? Because I think what I get so pissed off about is they're like, well, we just have to play harder. That's what they all said after the game. And I'm like, well, why didn't you? Like, do you mean you've realized that after the game's over that you need to work harder on defense?
Why? Yeah, and so, like, for me, the thing that I notice with the Nuggets is that, like, they have no defensive identity. It almost looks like no one ever knows where they're supposed to be, who they're supposed to be on, who's supposed to be on help defense. You know, like, you'll see two guys under the basket and, you know, like a guy on the Bulls driving and say that, like, CB is coming down while he's driving and everything like that, like following his guy. And then you have, like, we'll say Jokic and AG under the basket. You'll have Jokic and AG look at each other and just, like, looking at each other to be like, who's supposed to be helping? And that second that they look at each other and are confused about who's supposed to be helping, this person's already dunking on you. Yeah, there's a basket. And so I just think that, like, I don't know if it's like the defensive schemes. They have no defensive identity.
Do you think it's Mike Malone's fault or no?
Partially. I mean, I think that part of it has to be, like, if you're the coach and you see this consistently the entire year, like, I mean, that has to be, like, obviously we're fine offensively. We're a great team offensively. We still scored 121 and only lost by 8. If you watch that game, literally, I mean, Christian Brown had 28 points. Like, if you're watching this game,
I'm so mad that they ruined his game.
I know. And like career high, had 28 like points. A beautiful game too. Like Jokic had
33, 12, 14.
Yes, a monster game. Like, so, you know, like you have guys, this is a great offensive team and they obviously have an offensive identity. But like, you know, you look at other teams like the Warriors and stuff like that. Their defensive identity goes through Draymond Green and like he, like they have like a scheme that essentially like benefits him, which benefits everyone else on the team. Like you have teams like OKC where they just like, you can literally throw them in man-to-man, five-person man-to-man coverage, and they're just impeccable at it. All five of them are. Like every team kind of has like the defense that works for them and the defense that makes sense, and we don't have that defensive identity. P-Wall always looks lost on defense.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, guys are just letting people drive to the basket. It's not even just perimeter defense. I mean, the perimeter defense is by far the worst.
It hurts like, the most.
It does. And obviously, I mean, you're giving like them open threes. Yeah. And I mean, for me, like open twos are better than open threes because if you're giving them open twos, at least you're not fouling and giving them an and one and stuff like that. But I mean, I would still rather have the effort there on both ends. I just think that no one knows like, what they're supposed to be doing. And you have to, if you're the coach, you have to put that out there. You have to.
It's so hard for me for it to get this far in the season and for that to even be a thing because like, are you really that incapable on defense? It's almost like appalling, like how abhorrent they are on perimeter defense. And, you know, P-Watt can make good plays, but again, he's still young. Same with CB, you know, those are like our defensive guys, but they don't, you know, they make mistakes still. They're young guys. So losing KCP again, like, we kind of had to see how it was going to go this year. I think, of course, he was the one that was, as you're talking
he
about,
was the defensive identity.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he even made a comment like, I'm so happy to be on a team where everyone cares about defense. It's not like he clearly was the one in the locker room being like, are you effing stupid? Like, close out. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's just so hard for me to watch. And I'm like, you're an NBA player and you're that poor on defense. Like, forget working on your free throws in the offseason. Why are you not working on becoming a better defender if you know that's straight where up. You're so poor and lacking, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't all be on CB, who's in his third year, his first year starting. Like, and especially, I think sometimes I get frustrated because I know that just the people that Jokic and Murray are, they're not the guys that are like, come on, guys, come in. Like, we got to lock in on defense. Like, they're not very vocal leaders. And
yes.
And like, we've known that about Jokic, you know, like English we've is talked his about second it. Language. Yeah. Like, and he's always said he doesn't like to be that guy. And I think he's had to become it.
He's not a yeller either. Like, he doesn't like to yell. No. He's not like a crazy hype guy. Like,
you'll see him like draw plays in the huddles, which I love. Like when he does that, he'll take over like that kind of role. But you know, you don't have the, like, I think Russell Westbrook could be that person. But again, like, Russell Westbrook is, like, just now becoming, like, some great, like, kind of pickpocketer for us. Like, he hasn't always, like, you didn't always look before and be like, Russell Westbrook is a defensive force, you know? Yeah. Now, he's added that to his game. But again, Aaron Gordon doesn't look healthy at all. I think he was so bad in this game.
He looks, the last few games since he's been back, he looks like he is not healthy. He looks like he's not ready to be back.
I was like, why are you here? And you like a lot of his usual game, like his bully ball, like he could not get past guys. And then that one terrible play of that scrawny little kid that literally backed into him. AG like tried to get a charge. Don't know why, because his feet weren't set. Like he just fell over and laid there and the guy dunked over him. This guy that literally was probably half of AG's weight. I guarantee you he's half AG's weight. And I was like, it's just embarrassing. And then Julian Strother, I really love him. Caitlin and I act like he's our kid, but you come in with 15 minutes. You have 0 points, 2 rebounds, 0 assists, 1 steal, 0 for 4 from the field. And when we're having a game like this to the Chicago Bulls that are trying to like trade off random pieces that they have, it was just so bad, especially when you have a great game from Jokic and Christian Brown. You know, Jokic had a great game offensively, not a great game defensively, which sucks because we bragged about him, how he was underrated on defense. And a lot of national media has too. It's not just us saying that he's become a better defender. Yeah. And the last two games have been terrible for the agenda. He has
horrible.
Yeah, he has been making us look very stupid.
He's so like, can you guys please stop pushing agendas that I'm a good defender? I don't want to win this MVP. Yeah. And we're like, do it. We love you. And he's like,
I'm like, you're making me stop. Yeah, he's yeah. like, I no, don't,
literally,
I don't want
I just think that, like, you know, like I said, like, I just don't think that, like, anyone knows what they're doing on defense. And it makes every part of the game, every part of the possession on defense so much harder. Like, if you watch some of our games, the amount of, like, backdoor cuts that our guys miss that and then give up you, open
this is my favorite thing layups. To say. You can't spell Denver Nuggets without defensive laps at the rim.
That's – I would just re-scramble those words, and that's what you get. It's literally the most frustrating shit in the world. I'm like,
I just hate inconsistency.
Do you not have peripherals? Like, how are you not seeing that guy cut behind you?
I hate like lack of effort, not playing hard, especially when you think it's. I hate when teams go in, especially because the Nuggets have a tendency to do this and fuck around and find out. Sorry. Because they're like, well, it's the Bulls. You know, they've lost 7 of their last 8. That means they're desperate to get a win. Like, mm-hmm. I hate it. You should be going into every game. You don't know what effort is going to be brought, especially because you go into a Knicks and Grizzlies game. Two good people. You would never think the Grizzlies are going to get demolished by 40, you know? Like, exactly. There's just so many games where you never know who's going to have an A-plus game tonight. And if you're not going to lock in defensively until the fourth quarter, it's usually too late. Like, it's too late.
Yep. Period.
And I'm mad about it. And it was ugly.
Yeah.
Have some shame. I'm looking at you, Denver Nuggets. Period. Have some fucking shame. Because after you literally get embarrassed, you're on a 4-game win streak. Everyone's playing amazing. You know, the MVP campaign is live. Everyone's saying, wow, the Nuggets do look like contenders. You go in. We've never been good at matinee games. Don't care. Not an excuse. You go into a matinee game in Minnesota where they sent you home in game 7 in the first time in history that anyone has gone to lose in the playoffs after having a 20-plus lead at the half. And then you come in and you literally lose it all. You don't make the Western Conference Finals. You don't go back to the finals when you probably could have. And you don't have like a sense of pride to like beat them down.
Got their butts kicked. It was so bad.
It was so ugly. And I hate it because it looks like they now own us. And I don't want to be owned by anybody. Okay. I disagree. The Nuggets to do the owning.
Yep.
So it was just an ugly game. Chicago Bulls were shooting lights out. They were all unconscious from three. And it was really freaking annoying.
It is. You know, like I said, I mean, like the hardest part is that when you have a team that's going crazy from three and you're not playing perimeter defense.
Yeah.
Real.
Well, you're because lose then the they game. Get hot, but then not only do they get hot, but they're open. Like they're like, oh, like
that's
the basket,
what I'm saying. The and then they're wide open for them. It makes me so mad. It's so frustrating. So
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
If the Nuggets want to do anything, they do have to find some sort of defensive identity and figure it out because it's ugly. So
it's so like despicable, abhorrent, disgusting. Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Honestly, let's talk poopy about someone
who's. We can talk about someone who else is pissing us off. Jimmy Butler, come to the stand. You're on trial,
Jimmy.
Jimothy.
Jams.
Jim. Okay. Jam.
Jams.
You're being a little brat.
A child. Okay. So I'm just gonna. We talked about this last time. We talked about Jimmy. He had just gotten or like was about to come back from his 7-game suspension because he had that suspension just for like being late to stuff and, you know,
missed
breaking team rules. Totally. And so then
how do you miss your private plane?
He did it on purpose. Like there's no way because, and so that's actually why. So he comes back for a few games and he plays like, okay. It's not like he was like the most incredible thing in the world. Yeah. Like, did you miss me? You know, like if he would have like come back like Ja Morant when Ja Morant came back and he just went crazy, like after his huge ass suspension, you know, that's a very like, did you miss me? Like type thing. No, he just came back and was like, yeah, no, for Jimmy, it was like, he came back and they were like,
he's there.
We can do without you. But he came back, played a few games, and then, God, like four, I think it was like right before our last episode. So it had to have been like over the weekend. He missed his plane to Milwaukee, and they suspended him for two more games. And then they're out of practice. He had missed his two games. They're at practice. Mm-hmm. I think, was it yesterday that I texted you? They're at practice yesterday, and they tell him going forward, he will no longer be starting. They will be starting someone else over him. He will be coming off of the bench. Jimmy. Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, like, I get it. Like, you're no longer a leader to this team. And if you're like, why would I start you just because you're a good player? If you're not leading this team and like acting like a captain when you're like supposed to be. Yes. Sorry, but that's a no-go for me. So they told him, they said, you're no longer going to be starting for us. You're going to be coming off the bench. And he walked out of practice with nothing. And like I said, like he was already missing team planes and showing up to meetings and practices late and everything like that. And so now he's suspended indefinitely. He has like no return date. My guess is that they're going to try to trade him. But what team wants this now? Oh, the Golden State Warriors, they did. They said, we're actually back in on it. Because they know that they can get him for less now.
You know what pisses me off too is the fact that I have also been miserable at my job because I have a new one. And I've hated it. And Caitlin hates her job. And we're both miserable. And we're not getting paid $30, $40 million. And we're showing up and we're having good attitudes, unfortunately. And we're there every day. So the fact... And... people aren't relying on us. If I were a player on this team, that would leave the worst taste in my mouth about who he is as a person for the rest of time. Because
especially
you don't care about
as
us.
Your leader.
You care as about your yourself. Leader. You're not happy. You want to go. And so you're going to make everyone else around you miserable. You're not going to help us win. You're going to do petty games with not showing up and missing flights. And it's just so disrespectful because the other guys can't just complain and leave. So they're stuck with your antics in the middle of season as if like you could possibly care less about what happens to them. And it's just really, it's really selfish.
It's
and
gross
and icky. And I don't like it at all.
But what I will say is that there's one person that is benefiting from Jimmy Butler being a butt crack. And that's
Jimmy
Khalil
Butthole.
Ware. Jimmy Butthole, Jimmy Butt Crack. I'm over him. But Khalil Ware, he is a rookie and he wasn't getting a lot of minutes. And they Jimmy Butler obviously has been playing a lot. And he's so Khalil Ware's a center. So he's kind of one of like the bigger guys, but he's been taking a lot of extra minutes now ever since Jimmy's been out. And he has skyrocketed.
Because Bam's playing more of like the forward position.
Exactly.
Kind of switched their lineup around with Jimmy being out.
Exactly. And he skyrocketed to the top of the rookie of the year ladder because he has gotten like insane minutes and he's been playing so well. I mean, literally just in their game yesterday against the Orlando Magic, they won. But Khalil Ware had 19 points, 10 rebounds, 2 steals and a block, shooting 87%, which is amazing. And he played 43 minutes.
Did you see that Tyler Herro played 48 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they went into overtime. Insane.
Oh.
So he played.
Oh, my God. Well, oh, I forgot. This went into second overtime, double overtime. I was like.
Yeah. But still, I mean, that's insane. Like, these guys deserve some ice cream if I were their mom.
Bam Adebayo, who also was a Kentucky Wildcat, has been doing much better than he was at the beginning of the season. And he had 26, 10, and 9 last night, so close to a triple-double.
I know. So, he was so good. He's been playing way better. You and I talked about at the beginning of the season how he was kind of having a slow start. It wasn't even a bad start, just a very slow start. Not very
just
him.
Not like sometimes he plays like he's unconscious. And, you know, last game he had 17 points and 16 rebounds. And then the game before, 11 points, 14 rebounds. So he's crushing those boards. We love to see effort. F you, Jimmy. You're screwing over your team. and they're better off without you. So I hope they trade you and get your ass out of Miami yesterday.
Yep. And where for all rookie, since he's going to be coming up saving your butt and saving the team, because yeah. And I literally am just going to like tell you some of like his stats, because this has been since he's had to step up for Jimmy. So the 19 points, 10 rebounds, 2 steals, 7 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals and 2 blocks. He was horrible offensively, a monster defensively. 22 points, 10 rebounds, 1 steal and a block. 20 points, 15 rebounds, 2 blocks. 25 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. I'm trying to go back. Another rough offensive night, but he actually only played like 10 minutes this game. 9 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. 8 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists. 19 points, 13 rebounds. Like, this kid is a monster. So, you know what, Jimmy? If you did anything good, it will show the world that Khalil Ware exists.
Needs more playing time, period.
Literally. And just because I want to jump into this, too, because we were going to talk about the Bucks with Miami.
Look what I have. I have little old Giannis.
You're your
I was about to say, I was like,
I love you.
It was so funny because I was like, oh, yep. He helped remind people that Khalil Ware exists. And now we're here to remind you, because everyone seems
Giannis exists,
to forget that Giannis exists. Well, not everybody, just SGA fans and the national media. But that's okay.
That is true.
Because Giannis, yes, is also going unconscious.
Yes, he is. And like, so what I was going to add as I was finishing up the Miami talk, they actually lost to the Bucks by 25 the other day. It was 96-121. So the Bucks just absolutely annihilated them. And the Bucks have been going pretty darn crazy. If you don't remember, they had a really rough start to the season and we were all like, what's happening? You have Giannis, you have Dame, you have Chris
Giannis
Middleton.
And Dame are out of there. Sounded like they were.
Yeah, literally. I mean, the entire team was like in shambles. And then what was it? Like a month or so ago, Giannis and Dame sat like their team down and they were like, we're doing this shit and we're going to do it together. And they have gone on quite the run since. And they jumped to fourth in the Eastern Conference. And Giannis is playing one of the best seasons of his life. And like I said, a lot of people are seeming to forget that he exists. And because a lot of people are like just comparing for MVP, SGA, and Jokic. And while what Jokic is doing is obviously generational, one of the best things that we have ever seen as basketball fans, stats-wise, yes, the Nuggets are fourth in the Western Conference, and OKC is first in the Western Conference, but Giannis is also playing out of his GD mind. And they're fourth in the Eastern Conference behind three really incredible teams. And people are
forgetting. And he's like averaging 35, basically.
Yes. I mean, he's genuinely going crazy. And I'm like, I'm not sure how people aren't. Like, if I were SGA fans, I'd be like arguing about Giannis, not Jokic.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to go stat for stat, go with Giannis.
If you want to compare. Compare, and because they're, you know, it's much similar when you go through it. But yeah, the last few games, last night, Giannis had 35 points, 18 rebounds, 70% from the field. Against the Clippers, 36 points, 13 rebounds. Against Miami, 25 points, 12 rebounds. Philly, 34 points, 15 rebounds, 76% from the field, 35 points, 13 rebounds the game before. Like, he is literally basically averaging 35 a game. Casual.
Yeah. In the past, like, literally couple of weeks and stuff like that, he is absolutely at those numbers. If you go through the whole season, this including, obviously, his rough start and the team's rough start, he's averaging 31.5 points per game. Shea right now is averaging 32.1 points per game, which is also amazing. And so, obviously, Shea wins there. Shea wins on assists, but only by 0.1. And let's remember that Shea is a point guard. He's supposed to be the facilitator. Giannis is a giant power forward. He is averaging 31.5 points, 5.9 assists, and 12.2 rebounds per game. 0.8 blocks per game and 0.8 steals per game and 1.4 blocks per game. He's shooting at 60%, which is amazing. Free throw attempts per game. They're both in the top five when it comes to free throws. They sure do
Giannis
love that line.
Giannis is first and SGA is second.
Yes.
I was texting Caitlin last night because Giannis had 10 free throw attempts, but he only made three. Yeah. And I was like, he has 35 points and only three from free throws. That's impressive.
Yep. Yeah, because he missed seven of them. Imagine if he made all of them.
Yeah, he would have had a 40-point game. 41.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's something, it's funny because, 42, I mean, listen to the free throw percentages. Because if you think about it, Giannis would be annihilating everyone in points if he made his free throws. Because he's first in free throw attempts, shooting 58% from the free throw line. He's shooting better from the field during the game than he does at the free throw line. It's hilarious. He shoots 60% from the field during the game, 58% from the line. So honestly, if I were like Giannis's teammates, I'd start waving my hands in front of his free throws, you know, like act like it's game shots right then and there. Just get him a couple extra points. But if you think about it, I mean, he's averaging, 10 attempts per game. Yeah. If he made 9 of those attempts per game instead of 5 or 6, he would literally be averaging 35 points a game for the whole season. And just the last month, it would be like 38 or 39. I mean, that's insane scoring. And his rebound numbers averaging 12.2 rebounds per game on top of that type of scoring. I mean, it's crazy to me. It's crazy that like
shout out to you, people Bucks are fans just and Giannis fans.
Yes, it's crazy that people are like not putting him in the conversation. The MVP. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like I said, I'm not taking anything away from SGA, like, because he is an amazing player. And I am. I'm not, because like I get it. I think the one thing that does make me mad is people saying that SGA is not a selfish player. And I'm not saying that he's the most selfish player in the league. We still have guys like Luka and guys that like James Harden and stuff like that. But like
SGA, that love to find their shot first.
Yes. Yes. And that's okay. But like, he is a point guard. You're supposed to be the facilitator, SGA. And he has several games with 1, 2, or 3 assists. And I'm like,
it bothered me when someone was like, well, SGA, would you rather SGA pass for his teammates to brick the shot? I'm like, Jokic does that all the time. I literally said I was going to sit there and make a stat of would-be assists because of the amount of times that Jokic plays unselfishly and passes and they brick it. Like, it's just how it works.
Trae Young has had 22 assists on the Hawks. You still pass to your guys whether or not you think they're going to make them or not. The point of being a point guard is facilitating and setting up your team and making sure that you can get your guys open looks. Like, that is your job as a point guard. And obviously, he's an incredible scoring point guard. Like, that's amazing. But again, you're not facilitating if you're scoring if you're pulling up.
And you can do that. Like, Jamal Murray is not out here with 15 assists, but Jokic is our center point. Like, he is
he's
our
like
point
a Domas.
Guard.
He's like Domantas Sabonis.
So I don't know who you have as your head facilitator, like on the Thunder, like setting people up. Like, otherwise, it's just a bunch of people like playing their own game.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like I said, Giannis is their power forward and he has 31.5 points, 12.2 rebounds, 5.9 assists as their power forward. Their point guard, Damian Lillard, he's still averaging like incredible numbers. I mean, he's averaging 25.5 points per game, 4.7 rebounds per game, and 7.3 assists. He is their true facilitator, and Giannis is still finding a way to get guys open and pass guys.
This blew my mind on Sunday because J-Dub had a great game, finished the game with 24 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks, plus 9. Yep. Shea was a -4 in a 10-point win, and he was 35 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. Like,
that's what I said. I'm like, that's why it makes me mad when people are saying, like, when we were just saying that Jokic is a very like selfless player and he doesn't like to play selfish. He would actually prefer, like, if Jokic could have 100 assists and no points per game, he would probably prefer that. But he knows that that's not, you know, that's not feasible and it's not something that is sustainable.
And sometimes, literally everyone is bricking but Jokic, and then he will play a little selfish, and even then he usually gets like 7 assists. Like, that's totally his selfish game is a non-triple double.
Exactly. And so it's just I don't know, again, I'm me personally, we have to remind you all. I know, yes, I know that SGA is incredible. I know that Jokic is incredible, but let's not forget that there is a third guy in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not forget that Giannis is here.
All right, friends. If you're new here, welcome. We're so glad that you came to join us. And if you're not new here, we're always glad to have you. Please, if you didn't already, like, comment, and subscribe. Turn the notification bell things on. Share us with everybody. Check out our links below so you can talk with us. And, you know, that's how, again, I say this every episode, how you figure out when we're posting next. Because we usually just do it based off of, you know, if a huge game is happening on Thursday night, then we wait till Friday. Or if it's happening tomorrow night, you know, we'll post on Thursday. So we will keep you guys updated. But we're so happy to have you here. We're so happy to be here. We love you.
And also remember that we are not just on YouTube. If you don't like to sit and watch YouTube all day, we are on Apple and Spotify and Amazon Podcasts, all the other podcasting places. Just search eSports, or you can look in the links below. So if you want to listen to us on your commutes or your car rides, or while you're cleaning your house or whatever it may be, you can just listen to us. You don't have to stare at our beautiful, incredible faces the whole time.
Tragedy for you, though. Tragedy. How unfortunate. but yeah, thanks for tuning in either way, no matter which way you do it. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye, friends.
Bye. I don't know why I waved to you.
Bye, Caitlin. Fuck, I always do it the wrong way.